Our central bank is powerful, but not omnipotent. I'm David Brancaccio. Every Thursday, it's the readout on layoffs as expressed by the number of people signing up for state unemployment benefits in the last week. There is news today that 1.5 million more people just filed for benefits. The pandemic total for layoffs, looked at this way, is now more than 43 million people. Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
We've seen initial claims fall. They remain alarmingly high. And I also think the figure to watch is the continuing claims, which is just over 20 million right now. That also probably peaked out a couple of weeks ago and is starting to come down, but still too high. So I think the lesson here is the worst for the labor market was probably in the April period, and we're starting to see improvement, but it's slow improvement.
Economist Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel. Checking the markets in early trading, the Dow is down 90 points, 0.3%. The S&P 500 is down just slightly. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%. 2 days of testimony, first in the Senate, then in the House, from the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell. Yes, the key word is accommodative. The Fed is trying to be as nurturing as it can to the economy in the pandemic, making credit easier to get, interest rates low, markets smooth. Now, he said it before and he then said it again. Karen Petru is managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Now, you absorbed every syllable of this 2-day testimony extravaganza. Are you any the wiser about when we will dig ourselves out of this coronavirus hole?
I wish I were. Obviously, I think maybe it's not so obvious because everybody really looks to the Fed for these days for salvation. But the Fed isn't the archangel. The Fed can only do so much. And with an economy struggling even before COVID with significant structural problems like economic inequality, and now with a pandemic whose future is most uncertain, the Fed is essentially hanging on by its fingernails.
Now, Fed Chair Powell wants Congress to do its part. The term of art is fiscal policy. This is what? Government spending through borrowing.
That's right. It's a sharp reversal for the Fed, which has historically preferred a balanced budget, but he is certainly within the boundaries of Fed etiquette calling on Congress to throw everything it's got at the economy because, again, the Fed can only do so much.
All right. Karen Petru is managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, David. A pleasure.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Sometimes a small change can have a big effect when it comes to the problem of economic inequality. That's one strand of Marketplace's documentary podcast, The Uncertain Hour, in their latest season called The History of Now, with the final installment out today. Joining us is the podcast's host and senior correspondent, my colleague, Chrissy Clark. Hi, Chrissy.
Good morning, David.
Your episode this week gets at some big, heavy questions, broadly where economic inequality might be headed in a post-coronavirus world. But you start with a case study of something mundane, tangible, and familiar, the price of a boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Yes. As you know, earlier this season, we took a close look at the working conditions at chicken plants in Mississippi. Counties with chicken plants have emerged as hotspots for the coronavirus. And the conditions at these plants can be tough. Here's chicken industry watchdog Miner Sinclair with Oxfam.
Working cold and crowded conditions for low wages and, you know, under a lot of duress. So if you look at those conditions, say, that's in part why chicken is so cheap.
And so one thoughtful listener wrote in asking us, how much might the price of chicken go up if the workers got paid better. So my colleague Kayla Nesh tried a little thought experiment.
What'd she come up with?
Well, first you have to decide, of course, what better pay means. In Mississippi, poultry workers, who are mostly people of color, generally earn between about $12 and $14 an hour. They usually don't get paid sick leave. Sometimes they don't get any health insurance. So what if you bumped up their wages to, say, $20 an hour, enough for one adult worker supporting one child to cover basic expenses, and then add sick leave and better benefits?
And if you did that, what might that do to the price of the chicken?
Well, take a product like boneless, skinless chicken breasts. Lots of people buy those. They can cost about $2 a pound on average. One industry analyst we talked to estimated about 10 to 15 cents of that reflects plant labor. So if you bumped up wages to $20 an hour plus better benefits, that might add another 10 cents to the cost, meaning that chicken might cost about $2.10 a pound. So not a big difference.
Yeah, not a big difference. Now, your episode transitions from a small chicken breast sitting on a plate to a discussion that really spans the ages.
Yeah, there are these two moments that really jump out, these rare eras where economic inequality fell for decades. And one of them in Italy starts in the 1300s, right after the plague. Another in parts of Western Europe starts in 1918, right after the flu pandemic. And of course, there were lots of other things going on, peasant revolts, world wars. But after each of those two pandemics, workers' wages started to rise and concentrated wealth fell. And it's made me wonder if this might be another inflection point when historians look back at us someday.
Host of The Uncertain Hour, Chrissy Clark, thank you.
Thanks so much, David.
All the episodes of her latest podcast season are now available wherever you get your podcasts. I am David Brancaccio. Here you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.